Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 120, the stanzas 2 and 3. On thy strength alone relying, why am I cast off by thee? In my helpless sorrow sighing, while the foe oppresses me. And what follows? Psalter 120, the stanzas 2 and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the prophet Isaiah and there of chapter 49. And afterwards from the confession of faith, article number 16. Isaiah 49. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. A king shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, and neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far and lo, those from the north and from the west, and those from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, And the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For the waste and the desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou wast lost, the other shall say again in thy ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These were had they been. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For he will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. From the Confession of Faith, Article Number 16, Eternal Election. We believe that all the posterity of Adam, being thus fallen into perdition and ruin by the sin of our first parents, God then did manifest himself such as he is, that is to say, a merciful and just, a merciful, since he delivers and preserves from this perdition all whom he, in his eternal and unchangeable counsel, of mere goodness hath elected in Christ Jesus our Lord, without any respect to their works, just and leaving others in the fall and perdition wherein they have involved themselves. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou wast granted in this evening hour that our daily labors may be laid aside, and thou wast given the opportunity to come up to thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us, and that we attempt with our unclean lips to draw nigh unto thee, then it is so indispensable each time by renewal that thou granteth us a deep impression unto whom we speak, that thou filleth our hearts with that awe and that reverence when we approach unto the highest majesty, thou who hast decreed everything from eternity and executeth that decree in the time, also concerning the children of men. Lord, then it is so necessary that each time by renewal we receive a profound impression of thy holiness and thy righteousness, that thou art of pure eyes to behold iniquity, and that thou canst not look upon evil. And then, O Lord, we have to confess that we are all sinful creatures of the dust, that transgress all thy commandments. We are all transgressors from the womb. We are an unthankful people. We take so much for granted, and thy righteousness demands thy justice, that each sin must be punished with temporal and eternal judgments. Lord, grant also an impression of thy faithfulness, of thy goodness, and of thy mercy. Then we are all evidences thereof, wherein this day, as creatures of flesh and blood, one heart beat away from eternity, in the midst of so many dangers, in so many places, then thou wast graciously watched over each and every one of us. Oh, an impression of thy goodness, where we have been the recipients of so many blessings, also in this day, ah, Lord. May we thereunder receive a humble and a broken heart. Grant an impression of all thy attributes, all of thy wisdom, thy creation, thy providence. But where thou wast thought out a way, where we have cut off that way in paradise, that in thy unfathomable wisdom, thou wast thought out a way, that the sons and daughters of men, that they can be saved, restored into that blessed fellowship, washed and cleansed from all their sins, And that is because thou wast given thy dear Son. He has assumed our human nature. He has suffered and died. He was resurrected. He sitteth at thy right hand. And from thence he is gathering the church. Ah, Lord, thou art that almighty God, that wonder-doing God. And then we humbly ask thee, may it please thee to stretch out thy almighty arm, and that thou may rescue sinners, that are traveling on that broad way, can be in different ways, can be with convictions, impressions, still a blessing and still a privilege, can be careless, can be hardened, can be in the world. Ah, Lord, may it be in this evening hour, the time for this one, for that one, could it be for more? We may pray for all. Ah, we have heard out of thy holy word, the prophet was given to lament, that his labor seemed to be so in vain. Lord, with thy help, we can only bring it to the ears. We humbly ask thee, because the prophet has said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, Lord, work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of us and our children. Ah, we have heard it from the confession of our forefathers, based upon thy holy word, that thou art perfectly just to leave fallen mankind, lay in their lost condition, and then at the end to be sent to hell. The wages of sin is death. But we have also heard that thou art merciful in choosing a people and gathering and calling thy church. Wilt thou do it in this evening hour? Ah, we have heard out of thy holy word the blessings which thy dear Son has merited for his church, a richer time. Wilt thou grant it unto us and our children? Wilt thou grant unto thy children that they may be more exercised with those holy things? Ah, Lord, our hearts, they are so earthly, so carnal and so vain. May we be more spiritual minded and more a calling, more a wrestling, more a storming of the throne of grace. Oh, leave and forsake us not, but magnify thy free and sovereign grace amongst us and our children. Ah, grant unto thy people a closer life with thee, to receive those tokens, but also those further leadings. Oh, the necessity to be placed, to find a place upon the rock. Thou hast said to the children of Israel, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Lord, we may acknowledge thee that in this week, that thou wast granted a little rain, thou wast granted some cloud cover, some deliverance from the heat, then we may humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, to grant those refreshing showers. Remember man and beast, and above all the refreshing showers of thy Spirit upon the church. Remember all the needs, all the mourning ones, there are many amongst us, all our elderly ones, the evening of their life, eternity is at hand. Above all, save their never-dying souls. Remember all under the physician's care. Remember the crosses. Remember the burdens. Wilt thou remember the handicapped amongst us with those that may care for them. Remember the family circles. Wilt thou bless all the labors of our hands. We remember prodigal sons and daughters. Wilt thou bless thy word among Jew and Gentile, the established churches, over the length and the breadth of the earth, where there is such a great falling away, so many places, and so many churches were formerly, thy word had great authority, it was reverenced, walking according thereto, and now such a great departing. Remember the nations of the earth, under all thy judgments he drought, forest fires, floods in different places upon the earth. Then thou wast sent the virus, and all, Lord, under all thy speaking, who taketh it to heart? Lord, arise for thy own honor and glory. Remember our nation, remember our province, the premier, all those that stand at their side. Wilt thou help them? May they be given to see that thou art the ruler over the heavens and of the earth. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help in this evening hour. Wilt thou take the service over, anoint with fresh oil from above. May there be a little milk for the little children, stronger meat for those that have been led a little further, and a heart full of compassion for the unconverted. Remember the hearers. May the cares, the busyness of life, may it be left outside of the church doors. And Lord, thou knowest that the cares, the trials, and the family circles in many different ways, they can be so great and so manifold. May we be given to lay all those cares before thee. Wilt thou grant a good evening in thy house for an unworthy, an undeserving people, O Lord. May a few such have come up in this evening hour. May there have come up a few hungry and a few thirsty ones. Oh, may sinners have come up. The prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner, O Lord. Wilt thou remember us and our dear children traveling and hastening to that never-ending eternity. Remember us, poor sinners. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 209, the stanzas 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. In long continued grief I stand, and seek the Lord with outstretched hand. I find no comfort for my soul, the clouds of darkness over me roll. And what follows, Psalter 209, the stanzas 2 through 6. Thank you. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Isaiah 49, the verses 14, 15, and 16, where God's word and our text reads thus. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Our text words speak of the Lord's answer upon the complaint of a distressed Zion. Four thoughts. In the first place, upon the rich promises for Zion. Secondly, the mistaken claim of Zion. Thirdly, the beautiful example for Zion. And fourthly, the comforting instruction for Zion. The Lord's answer upon the complaint of a distressed Zion. Upon the rich promises for Zion, because our text words begin with but, and that but is what is upon what is spoken in the former verses. The mistaken claim of Zion, because she was given to express in verse 14, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. The beautiful example for Zion, and that is a mother with her sucking child. And then in the fourth place, the comforting instruction for Zion, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. First, upon the rich promises for Zion. Beloved congregation, then we have heard out of this chapter wonderful things. Where the prophet Isaiah many times called the evangelist of the Old Testament, that he was given in the name of the Lord to comfort Zion. Do we not read in chapter 40, verse 1, comfort ye, saith the Lord, speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem. Then the chapters 40 through 66, they speak of blessings for the children of Judah when they would be taken into captivity, and concerning the Lord's deliverance in due time. But those prophecies speak of a richer time for the church. They speak of the New Testament church. Oh, the prophet Isaiah, then he is given to speak of the promised Messiah who would come in the fullness of time. Then in a spirit of prophecy, then the prophet is given to point to that precious mediator in the state of his humiliation, but also in the state of his exaltation. Then in this chapter, then it is evident that it is a messianic psalm, chapter, a prophecy, because many of the verses we have read, they cannot apply to the prophet Isaiah, but they speak of Christ. Thus in this chapter, then Christ, then he is speaking to his church. Oh, then we have heard of precious things, of what that Messiah shall be and what he shall do and what he shall fulfill. Oh, then we have also heard in verse 4 that the prophet is given to lament concerning his labors, that they seem to be much in vain. And that is not a strange matter for those who were called to labor in the Lord's vineyard. May it please the God of all grace to grant unto us and our children a richer time, as we have heard in the furtherance of this chapter. And now when Zion says, then we must first tell you boys and girls, who is now Zion? Then literally it is the mountain upon which Jerusalem was built. It is Mount Zion upon which the temple was built. But then you can understand that that mountain cannot speak. And in our text we read, but Zion said. Thus that term Zion, that refers to the inhabitants of Israel, the chosen people of the Lord, as a type of the people of God. And now when we read, but Zion said, then what Zion has said, that was upon what the prophet has declared concerning the wonderful works of the Lord. And then when we read what Zion has exclaimed, then maybe already we are ready to throw stones at Zion, and it is true. We may never plead for unbelief. The Lord has a people upon the earth that learns what a great sin it is. One of our old fathers have stated that if there could be such a passion as shame in heaven, then God's children, when at the end, when they shall be taken eternally home, then they would be ashamed of their unbelief. But now let us consider what Zion has heard. Oh, then she has heard wonderful things, because let us begin at verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee, O Zion. Is that not a precious word to the church? Where Christ, where the prophet is given to speak, that Christ shall he, that he shall redeem, and that he shall save his church. Oh, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people. Oh, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the benefits for Zion. Then we would think that Zion would have broken down and be wonderment and astonishment that she would have sang. But Zion saith, and then the blessings for Zion, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, oh, these chapters also prophecies, words of comfort for a people that would be in that faraway Babylon,
that would be in prison. Oh, that would sit by the waters, by the rivers of Babylon, by Babel, and that they would take their harps and try to sing one of Zion's songs, but that they would weep. Oh, the blessings that the prophet was given in the name of Christ to declare to Zion. Oh, what a blessed people, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, how is it in this evening? Are there captives and prisoners in this evening hour that have come up to the courts of the Lord? Are there a needy and a poor people, a people with a burden of sin by the first time, but also by renewal? Oh, have a few souls come up in this evening that have begged for a little token of the Lord? Because in our text words, then Zion has come in great distress. But now the Lord to that Zion, to that troubled Zion, to that thirsty and hungering people, oh, that people that have many riddles, that have many troubles, that have many perplexities, and yet it is a Zion that the Lord has chosen, that His glory may climb out of the dust. Ah, that is a Zion that the Lord has chosen to make Himself a name. And what a work the Lord has concerning that Zion. Ah, to save that Zion from their sins, from their iniquities, and also to preserve them in the time that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, and neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Oh, the mountains there shall be a way, the highway shall be exalted. Oh, young and old, they are the blessings which Christ has merited for the children of God. And to that end, our verse before our text, oh, when they have heard of those blessings, oh, for Zion that can be so downcast, then the prophet has said, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and bring forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. And then our text, but Zion said, then we would think that Zion, that she would have joined in praising the Lord, taken their harps and sung a sweet song. But Zion said, and then we can look down upon Zion in our text. But when we read, but Zion said, then it is very evident that Zion believed the words that were spoken in former verses. That Zion was given to believe that the Lord has a church that He has chosen. Then Zion was given to believe that there would come a great deliverer and that He would pour out such abundant blessings upon the church that His praises would rise out of the dust. Thus Zion had a deep impression of what she heard. Zion believed in God, believed in the coming Messiah, believed that there is a blessed people upon the earth. How is it with us, congregation? We're not approving of the bud of Zion. That shall become sin for them. Do you know what Zion learns? that they need that precious mediator to cover the sins of their unbelief. But when we read that word, but, then there is not a period after the former verses. The blessed portion of the church of God, the Zion, was given to believe that there is a blessed people. Oh, Zion, do you know what the trouble of Zion was? In our text, that Zion was so afraid that they were excluded, that they did not belong to that blessed people. Congregation, what do we believe? 12 articles, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. Do we believe in congregation? Do we ask ourselves many times, what do I really believe? Do I really believe in that Creator? We have heard recent times from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 10, that almighty hand, everything in his hand, to the smallest, and the advantage, patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and in all future things to trust in the Lord. Our Zion believed what she had heard. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, that Messiah has spoken and his wonderful works proclaimed in the verses before, made an impression upon Zion. Oh, with a burning, a desiring heart, given to see the blessed portion of that people that may be saved. Are we exercised with our sins? Has that need been born in our heart for that precious Savior? But Zion said, oh, Zion had an impression that she needed the Lord, that she needed his favor, tokens of his divine favor, and then she would be blessed indeed. I believe in the Holy Ghost, such a precious work that he performs in the conversion of sinners and in the leading and comforting of his people. But Zion said, oh, congregation, then I think we shall not be so quick to look down on Zion in our text. What is more pleasing to the Lord? A sinners that are listless, that are lukewarm, that are so cold. Oh, they can still speak of orthodox matters reformed according to the scriptures, but those exercises are missing. Shall the Lord then not be more pleased? And we repeat it, the Lord never approves of unbelief. 'Tis the greatest sin, robs the church of much comfort, dishonoring to God small thoughts of God. But, oh, in our text, but Zion said, then the Lord has a Zion in a low place, Do we not read in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 14, "All my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me hear thy voice and see thy countenance, for thy countenance is comely and thy voice is sweet." Ah, what shall be more pleasing to the Lord can be a beautiful dove, the feathers all in place, or that dove in the clefts of the rock. Oh, it is true, that dove has taken false liberties, but yet let that dove may be given to mourn, to cry unto the Lord. Oh, Zion in our text has come in the need. It is a word for a people in captivity. It is a word for those prisoners that cannot deliver themselves. And yet it is a word, O Zion, she was given, she has heard the word of God that the prophet has declared concerning the wonderful things of the Lord. Ah, that the Lord has a Zion, and the Lord shall continue to have a Zion till the end of days. But now Zion has come in the need because of Zion in our text. She could believe it for the church. Are there a few souls that say, "Now I am that Zion"? Oh, with those living desires, with that hunger and thirst, given to see that there is a people upon the earth that is blessed, that is a happy people. It's true, they have many troubles and trials, but a people that is blessed. But Zion saith, oh, it can come so low as Zion. Because they read in Psalm 14, verse 2, the fool saith in his heart, "There is no God." But that is for the world, that true congregation. Have you never become that fool? The fool saith in his heart that there is no God, can come so low. When Zion is purified in the fire, as I read in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7, ah, there is a needs be. But Zion saith, our second thought, the mistaken claim of Zion. There's a living complaint, not a dead complaint. Oh, Zion, we can hear it, we can feel it, that it is more than lip work, but that it comes out of the bottom of the heart of Zion, that she is so distressed and so troubled under the proclamation of the glorious gospel as it is in Jesus Christ, because that Zion, because of their sins, they would be in that faraway Babylon in captivity. Would be such a difficult way. The city and the temple burned down. But Zion saith, the Lord hath forsaken me. Means to be abandoned. No longer cared for. When the Zion now utter those words, can be under many circumstances. In verse 9 we read of a people that are in darkness. When there's dark, boys and girls, then we cannot see so much, and we cannot see the colors are right. Many times come to the wrong conclusion. Oh, Zion feels forsaken. When the Lord tarries to fulfill what he has promised, there would be many years, some would be 70 years, and Babylon promises that they would be delivered. And, oh Zion, many times how often they are busy reasoning. Oh Zion shall learn that his name is wonderful, and he is that mighty God. Oh, when Zion can feel so forsaken, the midst of the enemies, I desire to sing one of Zion's songs, but the harps upon the willows, as Zion can feel so forsaken, when they are discouraged, because in verse 6, the prophet is given to speak of restore. Oh, when they are chastised, when they are in time of great trials, think of Elijah after he has stood on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18 in the power of his God, where he was given to build that altar where the priests of Baal were slain. But then in 1 Kings 19, then he felt so forsaken that the Lord would no longer take it up for his cause. Oh, Elijah had been jealous for the honor of his God. He had hoped that upon the wonders of the Lord, when they had cried out that the Lord, he is God, that the children of Israel would have turned unto the Lord. But though then Elijah felt so forsaken when he has come under the juniper tree, oh, Zion feels forsaken when it all seems to be closed up, when it seems that the way to the throne of grace, that it can be so shut up. Do we not read in Psalm 22, verse 2, it is true, it also speaks of the Messiah, but that in the daytime he called, the Lord heard not, and in the night watches, that he was not silent. Oh, for Zion, when the promises are not fulfilled, when it seems that the Lord has forsaken them, oh, it can go so deep with Zion, when it seems that the Lord knows no more of them. Oh, it can go so deep when it seems that the Lord gives the enemies free rein, that they can do what they desire, and that the church is persecuted. Ah, do we not have the example of the children of Israel in Egypt? They have groaned, they have wept. They were under the taskmasters, the little boys. They were cast into the Nile. Oh, what an examples we have of a people of God that can feel so forsaken of their God. Oh, in former times, they have experienced special deliverances and his loving kindness. And therefore, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. Ah, maybe a soul in my midst in this evening, that they understand Zion, that they say, that is now my condition. Ah, when I think of former days, we have sung together from Psalm 77 of an Asaph, has the Lord forgotten to be kind? Shall I his promise faithless find? Ah, for Zion it seems that it is all closed up. And now under the proclamations of deliverance, the proclamations of the precious Savior, but then Zion, oh, they feel so forsaken that it is not for them, that it cannot and that it shall not. But Zion saith, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. That goes deeper. Concerning that forsaking, already a few promises in Isaiah 41, verse 17. the poor and needy seek. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Chapter 42, verse 16. When it speaks of leading the blind by a way they know not, crooked ways, these things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Oh, for Zion, when they feel so forsaken, they are filled with so many fears that they do not belong to that true Zion. When Zion says, the Lord hath forsaken me, then we do not read in our text words that Zion has inquired of the Lord why. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord, sometime in his sovereignty, then he hides his face for his people and leads them. Unfathomable, mysterious ways that the devil has given to mock with them. And Job 1 verse 1, perfect to choose evil. Then Job could honestly say, wherefore contendest thou with me? But many times, most of the time, then Zion knows why the Lord has forsaken them, can be in the life of a child of God, that they know the time and the place and the reason. But many times it is a gradual backsliding. Oh, for Zion in our text, not given to blame the Lord. No. Because when Zion would come into captivity, when Jerusalem and the temple would be burnt, oh, then Zion knew, had worshipped the idols. The goodness of the Lord did not humble them. They had not listened to the prophets. They have continued in their sinful way. Thus Zion did not ask why, because Zion, do we not read in Jeremiah 2 verse 13, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the cistern of living waters, and they have hewn themselves out, broken cisterns, cisterns which can hold no water. Then it is necessary each time by renewal that Zion comes in the guilt, given to confess is their sin, their backsliding, that they are so forsaken. Oh, the Lord has bestowed so much labor upon them. But now to continue, we have said one thing to feel forsaken, there's another thing to be forgotten. If we think of a father and mother with children, then it can be that there are appointments and that parents drop off their little boy or girl at a family member, a friend they may be cared for. And then such a little child can feel sad, maybe a little forsaken. But if they may now know, father and mother says, my boy, my girl, we shall not forget about you. You are always in our mind, in our thoughts. Then what a comfort it is we would think of a little child that is lost in a forest, a cornfield. Of course, boys and girls, you must pay good heed where you go. Then such a child, how sad and how distressed they can be. But now the thought that father and mother, that many people are looking to find them, that is still a comfort. But now the thought that our loved ones, they do not even think of us anymore. And that is what Zion is saying in our text words. Not only forsaken, the Lord has withdrawn his hand. Seems that the enemy is free sway. The enemy is given to mock. The Lord's name is dishonored. Seems impossible from their sight. Oh, how forsaken they can feel. When I read in Psalm 13, verse 1, that the Lord hides his face, that it seems that the Lord no longer knows their address, that they are given to cry, no answer yet has found relief. But now Zion has went so deep in that faraway Babylon, and the enemy is mocked so loudly that Zion has said, not only the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me, but Zion, do you not have a knowledge of the scriptures that makes deeper their present woe? Because do we not read in Psalm 130, verse 8, that the psalmist has declared, and he has prayed that the Lord will not forsake the work of his own hands? Do we not read in Philippians 1, verse 6, he that hath begun a good work, and you shall finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Does Zion not know the scriptures? Of course, in the Old Testament, only some of the scriptures. But is it not written in the scriptures, I am the Alpha and the Omega? Does Zion not know that there is no falling out of grace, the perseverance of the saints? Does Zion not know that it is written in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, revealed unto the last day? Does Zion not know that Christ has said that no man shall pluck them out of my hand? Does Zion not know that the salvation lieth so firm for the child of God in the work of a triune God, the electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, and the application of the Holy Spirit? Zion can know those truths. And Zion can believe it for Zion. But when the Lord leads in those unfathomable and mysterious ways, do we not read in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, think not it a strange way, the fiery trial that the Lord leadeth his people. But now concerning what Zion has said, maybe a few such in our midst, then it is profitable that in this evening that we speak to Zion that has uttered those words, ask some pointed questions concerning the words that they have spoken. But let us first sing. Psalter 72, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Hide not thy face from me, in wrath turn not away, my help and Savior be. Forsake me not, I pray, should father, mother both forsake, the Lord on me will pity take, and would follow. Psalter 72, 2, 3, and 4.
Thus now we must ask Zion a few pointed questions. As Zionites, are you listening? Then for those true Zionites, then many times their speech betrayeth them. Also with the nominal Christian. The nominal Christendom. They shall tell you, you have to believe. You may not have any unbelief, that is true. But they are not troubled with our text. But now for the true Zionite. When the Zionite is given to declare, the Lord hath forsaken me. That means such a soul in that statement is sane. That they know what it is to have the nearness of the Lord. If that has not been experienced, then Zion can never say, and we feel it, comes out of the bottom of the heart of Zion. When they say, the Lord hath forsaken me, then Zion is saying that they have known of a time that they experienced the special nearness of the Lord. Oh, it is true. Uncovered to their sins, a missing people. But then it was not being forsaken. It is true. They did not dare to place themselves among that blessed people, those blessings. They have asked for it, but not forsaken. Are there such souls in my midst? Oh, that know of a time that you could speak of the nearness of the Lord. You prayed, and the Lord answered. Providence, such a close and a tender life, came up to God's house. And what you were perplexed with and troubled with was explained off the pulpit. Thus then Zion in our text words, then she is declaring what lives in her heart. Is that not true, Zion? Oh, then the Zionite, maybe with tears, shall say, but that now makes my trouble the greater. Because there was a time, that the Lord has planted that hope in my heart. And receiving those tokens, then I believed that I may belong to Zion. Oh, there were many doubts and struggles. But there were times that I was given to sing, to given to rejoice. When I opened the scriptures and read of the ways of Zion, it was not all a strange language. Oh, it is true, the sin that I've experienced, the separation and that breach. But that hope that the Lord has given, not forsaken, but that makes deeper my present woe. Because I hoped in the way of grace to go from strength to strength and to become holier and holier and so appear before Zion. But my sins, my heart. Oh, then I have to confess the Lord is so righteous. That I feel so forsaken, but I cannot miss the Lord. Then secondly, then we have to ask Zion concerning what they have called the Lord. Verse 14. First, Lord in capital letters. The Zion,
you have learned in catechism class, of course, in the time of Isaiah, the children were also taught, but they did not have nice catechism books like we do from Reverend Hellenbrook. Then we must ask Zion what that name Lord in capital letters means. And then Zion, then they shall say, the explanation of that name was given in Exodus 3, verse 14. I am that I am. That speaks of that faithful covenant God who was unchangeable, who shall never forget and never forsake the work of his own hands. The Zionite. Then you are still given to tell us in this evening hour that it is not completely hopeless, nigh to despair. But then in your statement that the Lord has forsaken you, then you are using that precious, that name that is only given to the Supreme Being, Lord, unchangeable, that he shall remain faithful to his work. The Zion, then you are still telling us that you have a little hope. Then in the third place, because in that expression of Zion that we must listen closely, and it is true, it can come so low as Zion when you speak to such a Zionite that they break out with a flood of tears and that they have all their buts. But now the next question, Zionite. And then you have expressed, as we read in our text, and my Lord, that is Lord only with a capital L, means master, possessor, and that Lord as servants and handmaidens, wrought upon by grace, drawn and conquered by love, that are they become volunteers in the service of the Lord. Lord is not of slaves, congregation, a willing people. In the day of his power, oh, it is true, later in that life, we shall not go into it. But now the Zionite is given to also say concerning that forgetting. Then she has expressed, my Lord, my King, my Master, under his banner, and yet so forsaken and feel so forgotten. Then do you hear in our text words that the speech of the Zionite betrays much? And I repeat it, come low. I read in a solemn that the psalmist was brought low. And Solomon 116 verse 6 was brought very low. But the Lord shall never let that Zionite despair. Oh, there have been those that has come close. But even with that complaint, and when we speak of a complaint, John Flavel has said, we may never complain of the Lord, but we may complain to the Lord. I read there of in Psalm 142, verse 2, that the psalmist has poured out his complaint before the Lord and showed the Lord all of his trouble. And then he has declared, when my soul is overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Thus then we still may be a soul in my midst, that their life is declared. Oh, what has one so different than you thought in the way of grace and in the way of trials? Contrary provinces, unheard prayers can become so dark, so impossible. But the Lord loves Zion still. And then we see in our text words declared different matters. Maybe if we ask those Zionites, maybe a little smile, because the Lord has a people that cannot declare themselves. Sometime their heart and life may be declared. Then they may experience that they are not the only one. Oh, also, when they read the scriptures and when the Lord may open it up a little bit, that they may find companions, many times with the riddles alone. Then let us ask Zion a few more questions, and then we shall close. Lord willing, next time maybe we can continue. And now, Zion, another question. Forsaken, forgotten, you are telling us that it is not for you. Then why do you not go back to your former life? Bid the Lord farewell, that you say, Lord, thy service is too difficult and too hard. I shall go back into the world, the former life. Oh, then I think the Zionite will begin to speak. What shall they tell us, congregation? They shall say no. Sometime we have the fear of those flesh pots of Egypt. But no. That I cannot do. Then I would rather stay as a poor beggar, as a poor Zionite, with the exclamation, the declaration of our text, than to rather stay at his feet as a poor beggar, because the world has become death. And my Lord, my King, that is my desire. Let us ask our Zionite another question. But Zionite, are there then not those times that especially when there is a desperate need, when you feel like being at the ends of the earth, when it can no more? Oh, tell me then in this evening, are there not those times when in deep humility, unworthiness, with a confession of your sin, that you are given to pour out your heart and say, Lord, feel so forsaken and so forgotten, but I cannot live without thee. And I cannot die without thee. Oh, let us ask the Zionite another question. With what we read in verse 14, tell me then, are there not those times so distressed, despairing of self, afraid that you shall perish under the hand of Saul? Are there then not those times that the Lord grants those little tokens of his favor in the way of providence, in your work, in your duties, can be thoughtful on the road and spared. Perhaps lost something. And the Lord finds it. Can multiply it out. Ah, that Zion shall say that I cannot deny. But what all those matters, I cannot appear before the Lord. That is correct, Zion. We need to be led further. We must close for this evening. Ah, let us ask Zion one more question. Are there not many precious promises in the Word of God for a people that feel so forsaken and so forgotten? Oh, then I hear Zion already say, but that is for the people of God. But now be honest. Those promises, they are given to a people in the Scripture that is described their condition. And now be honest. When you read those conditions, for who that those promises are, can you deny that it is all a strange language? But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. Then the Lord has waited for Zion to finish speaking. It's not so long. But we can feel it comes out of the bottom of the heart. And what do you now think, congregation? For such a Zionite may come with such a need and with such a distress and with such a longing. Shall the Lord now let such a one perish? Read your Bible. Not one example. No, the Lord is faithful. Lord, all capital letters. Let us close. How is it now possible that the Lord shall have mercy upon Zion? Shall the Lord step over his justice? Never. Sin must be punished. Oh, that Zion learns. Learn it more and more. My sins, everything sinned away. But it is possible, because there has come one, the precious only begotten Son of God. He had no sin. Glorified his Father. He has hung on the cross, and he has experienced to the deepest extent what it is to be forsaken. The fourth crossword, what is it, boys and girls? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we read it in the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, because he was forsaken of his Father. His people shall never be forsaken. He has loved them from eternity, loved them in the fullness of time, and he loves them still. Amen. Let us close. Lord, perhaps a few Zionites in our midst that are struggling with these matters, and where it seems so impossible, and where it only becomes more impossible. But, Lord, then thou hast promised in thy word that thou shalt never forsake them. Remember us and our children. Grant a prayer for one another. well to watch over us in this night, in the furtherance of this week. Well to keep us under thy kind care and protection. Keep us from dangers, from harm. Keep us from sin and temptation. Lord, bind it upon all our hearts. We need to be reconciled with thee. And that needs to happen here in the time. Thou hast said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Then we may thank thee that we may come together, yet a few words to speak, blessed, for thy honor, for the coming of thy kingdom, and for the encouragement of thy Zion. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 134, let us only sing 1 and 2. Within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace, and what follows, 134, only 1 and 2. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee
and give thee peace. Amen.